This news story was written by Letitia Beecham. A pregnant lawmaker couldn't vote remotely, so she changed the law. The bill co-sponsored by the Prince George's lawmaker this fall was straightforward. A procedural change that would allow county council members to vote virtually if they are experiencing illness, parental leave, or a significant or unexpected factor or event outside their control. Crystal Oriata, Democrat, who represents District 7, was 8 months into her first pregnancy. The county's health insurance plan didn't cover birthing care in the county, and as a Black woman over 35, her pregnancy was considered high risk. During meetings at county headquarters, she would munch on ice and pickles to quell her nausea, her swollen feet shoved into the neon sneakers that still fit. But Oriata, now 37, wanted to continue attending meetings, even if she couldn't do so in person. Her fellow council members wouldn't object, she thought, since the world had gotten used to conducting business over computers and smartphones during the pandemic. Plus, pregnancy and health-related reasons seemed sensible. She was wrong. Councilmember Calvin S. Hawkins II, D at large, accused her of making yourself the victim. The council rejected Oriata's request, drawing protests far beyond the county and grabbing the attention of prominent female politicians in the region. Weeks later, council members reversed themselves. Now, as she launches into a new term on the council that she helped reshape, the outspoken liberal, who became the first council member to give birth while in office, is focused on ensuring other pregnant people don't experience the rough path she had. She gave birth to a boy, Ezra, in October, and quickly logged into a council meeting the following morning to be able to vote on bills she had introduced, concerned her proposals would die without her presence. She had always been able to fight for other people, she said. But she noted, "The fight for the legislation for virtual vote was really the first time a piece of legislation was so directly connected to me, and I felt like I was advocating for myself." An unexpected first. Oriata first had an inkling she might be pregnant last winter, when she gagged on a sip of coffee on her way to the office. Becoming a mother wasn't something she had envisioned before meeting her fiancé, Damian Newman, but there was room in the beautiful life she was building with him. She saved the pregnancy test and wrapped it up as one of his gifts for Valentine's Day. She was shocked to learn that she was the first person ever to be publicly known to be pregnant while serving on the county council. And then, to find out that the county health insurance she's on wouldn't cover labor and delivery services in Prince George's. Surely county employees deserved more choices, she thought. For much of Oriata's prenatal care, Newman would drive her to Silver Spring Medical Center in neighboring Montgomery County. As the birth drew near, she found herself confronted with further political disappointment while riding to a checkup in the passenger seat of Newman's white Porsche Cayenne in late September. Days before, County Executive Angela D. Alsobrooks, Democrat, hadn't had a declarative stance on virtual voting as the council debated the issue, a position that could have carried more weight coming from her, another politician and a mother, Oriata said. Newman dropped her off at the front door so she wouldn't have to waddle far and rush to join her inside. They disappeared into the other side of a wooden door and emerged with sonogram photos. The pregnancy hadn't been easy. She had had to excuse herself from council and committee meetings to manage her symptoms, once failing to make it to the bathroom before her nausea flared. Her team gave candles and thank you notes for cleaners on her floor for Christmas. Disconcerting updates throughout her pregnancy added a layer to the strain on Oriata, who knew that maternal mortality rates in Prince George's exceed the state average, that the risk of complications increases with maternal age, and that federal data shows Black women are 3 times more likely than white women to die from pregnancy-related complications. Though research has shown that higher levels of earning and education are linked to better birth outcomes for mothers and babies, those indicators aren't the rule for Black moms. It was against this backdrop that Oriata pushed for change. A win for her, she knew, would be a win for any council members in need of accommodations in the future. But she shouldn't have had to fight for virtual voting in a liberal county, she thought. The reality of that was saddening. A hard-won victory. By the time Hawkins, shamed by politicians and voters alike, had apologized for his victim remark, Oriata and her fiancé were focused on adding a rug to their nursery, as her family made its way to Seat Pleasant from Texas for the birth and to support Oriata afterward. She didn't realize how much she needed them until they arrived. Tears flowed that night at Oriata's home as her mother whispered religious comforts and encouraged her to release her feelings. Oriata soaked in the hugs and prayers as her due date neared and the council vote on virtual voting loomed. While public pressure had all but guaranteed a yes, The day of the vote was not without challenges for Oriada. Before voting favorably for the resolution, Councilmember Jolene Ivy, D District 5, said on the rostrum that she had concerns about framing virtual voting as a women's rights issue, an opinion Oriada took personally. Ivy said that she didn't want employers to get the wrong idea that they shouldn't offer maternity leave and that she didn't want women to feel guilty about taking it. The matter was a women's rights issue, Oriada replied to Ivy, because she was a pregnant woman advocating for reasonable accommodations. But other council members had argued that accommodations shouldn't be given and were indicative of poor governance. The pair continued debating in a side conversation after the council approved the measure, with Oriada's mother ultimately assuring Oriada that she had fought for the right thing as Ivy looked on. Moments later, Oriada sat glassy-eyed in her office under a Shirley Chisholm campaign poster, which hung under a stylized image of the late U.S. Representative John Lewis and his famous Good Trouble quote, as a crowned picture of the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg looked over her shoulder. "I just feel like she's undermining women," Oriada said of Ivy. "There's a lot of judgment for you to be pregnant, at the same time trying to serve. So the reality that we're trying to create is one where that can't exist, and that's it." Ivy told the Washington Post after the exchange that she had never spoken on the matter because she missed the first hearing on it. Ivy reiterated that what happened during the council was about voting access for elected leaders, noting that she is also a mother. "That's all," she said. "No drama for me, drama for somebody." Oriada swallowed her annoyance, hopped on a call, and then headed out of the Wayne K. Curry administration building doors with her family for the last doctor's visit she would have before giving birth, not knowing what the clash with Ivy might cost her politically. In those moments, they have all the power. Oriada had spent months using her voice, warning her colleagues about what can happen to black mothers when they give birth. When it was time to welcome baby Ezra, Oriada noticed she silenced herself in her pain. She doubted herself when the medical staff at an Anne Arundel County hospital checked her cervix once and told her she wasn't in active labor and wouldn't be for about 12 hours. Confused and in pain, Oriada leaned on her mother, who said she also struggled to navigate the difference between what they were saying and what her daughter was experiencing. When water gushed from her body, Oriada learned she had actually been in active labor for about 10 hours, and her contractions weren't showing up on monitors because the baby was already in her cervix. Because of the misjudgment of her labor, she had to go without pain medication, which was originally part of her birthing plan. A new doctor came in to help deliver Ezra, whose crowning seemed to surprise medical staff. When he was placed in her arms, Oriada said, the distress of what preceded faded. With all 6 pounds, 2 ahs, of him on her chest, she couldn't see anything but him. "I just couldn't believe he was here. He was so beautiful and fragile," she said of the boy, who was named after her father. Less than 24 hours later, Oriada flipped open her laptop to attend a council meeting. Wearing a hospital gown with an IV seen on one of her arms, she championed cannabis zoning legislation. "I don't think I even got to really process the experience until days after because I was just like, we'll have to report this issue. I need to talk to the leadership of this institution. I need to make sure that this never happens to another black woman," she said of her thought process after giving birth. "I need to get on video. I need to track these bills today." The pain accompanying Ezra's arrival crystallized for Oriada things she knew to be true but had now experienced. As a well-educated black woman in a leadership position in a majority black county, she too could have a traumatizing birthing experience. "My title doesn't matter. My education doesn't matter. My economic status doesn't matter," she said, straining to hold back tears, to no avail. "In those moments, I'm just a black woman that they see, and whatever biases that they hold can come out, and that in those moments they have all the power." She's filed a complaint with the hospital, hoping for better outcomes for people coming after her, she said. New beginnings. On the last council session day in November, Oriada brought Ezra with her to work. He sat in the audience nestled in the arms of his grandmother as Oriada made trips between the dais and a news conference, announcing the launch of a guaranteed basic income pilot that she had fought for. Ezra maneuvered a bit to find a comfortable spot to rest in Oriada's arms once the session was over, as she posed for pictures on the dais. Many of her colleagues who had originally opposed virtual voting were absent, but voted virtually that day. "I really wanted to capture this moment," she said of her first day physically back in the office about 4 weeks after giving birth. "Everything passes by, but I wanted to be able to show him one day that he was here with me. Things are different now. Ivy, once a part of Oriata's coalition on the council, became council chair this month with the power to set the agenda heading into 2024. While Oriata pledged to continue working with her, Ivy did not appoint her to lead any committees in the upcoming year. Councilmember Walla Blege, D District 6, another vocal member of the council's more liberal wing, also wasn't appointed to a committee leadership role. With Ezra in her life, Oriata said she is in a season where she must become more prudent and discerning, which includes advocating for herself and her constituents in a way that she feels her family remains the priority. Instead of showing up at every community event a constituent invites her to, Oriata considers her capacity. The thought of rest doesn't bring on a feeling of guilt or anxiety that she should be doing something. Vacations and time with friends, she's noticed, are just as important. Ezra's entrance has ushered in an era in her life where she feels like she can speak up for others, but also for herself. As a Black woman, I've been told I can't have it all, she said. I can be a good wife, a good mother, and a good politician. The days of being one of the first on site and the last to leave are gone, she said. I don't want to be absent. I'm not going to get this time back. And this moment isn't going to last forever, she said. The legacy is going to be the policy and the programs I put forth. I think I'm finally at a place in my life where I really believe that. Story editing by Katie Burnell Evans, photo editing by Mark Miller, copy editing by Carrie L. Byron, design by J.C. Reed.